Alaska Natives from 5 communities in Southeast Alaska seek recognition under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And Klukwan Community Garden makes its first harvest of the year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. Nearly 50 years ago, Native corporations were created for hundreds of villages through the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Thousands of acres of land were transferred to each of these corporations. However, Alaska Natives from Haines, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Tenakee Springs, and Wrangell were excluded from the settlement. Now, a coalition of the 5 so-called landless communities is advocating for legislation that would provide them land and allow them to set up their own corporations. It is unclear why some communities in Southeast Alaska were not included in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. In 1993, Congress asked the University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research to look into the issue. They found there was no distinction between communities that were recognized and those that were left out of the settlement. Harriet Brulette is the tribal administrator for the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines. She says she first started advocating for the 5 landless communities shortly after graduating from college.
It just has been a continuous process since then. I went from being a 26-year-old out of college to being now a grandmother and still trying to find some justice for the Chilkoot people.
A recent bill drafted by Alaska's senators in Washington, D.C. would help create 5 Native corporations for the communities. They would each be entitled to 23,000 acres. But there are a few challenges. As the years go by, there are fewer and fewer pieces of land available in Southeast Alaska. Brulette says this has made it difficult to find potential land to include in the settlement.
It's hard as Indigenous people to look at your land and realize there's nothing there for you. I mean, we don't have ownership of our own homelands. It's gone.
And not everyone supports the idea of conveying land to new Native corporations. Southeast Alaska Conservation Council has raised concerns that new Native corporations will carry out large-scale logging on their lands. But Brulette says she is interested in exploring opportunities for ecotourism and carbon sequestration.
I think that the days of Native corporations logging their lands and people getting these huge dividends from that are over. Those days are come and gone, and it's not a sustainable way to manage your land.
Recently, Sea Alaska Corporation, the regional Native corporation for Southeast Alaska, has reached out to public relations firm Cedar Communications to help improve outreach and advocacy for the 5 landless communities. The group has been helping to organize the Alaska Natives Without Land Coalition and host meetings in the 5 communities to discuss possible land settlements. Todd Antiochia helped organize the meetings. He says the purpose is to gather feedback while informing the community.
This is going to be the first time that we're introducing land nominations for each of the 5 communities. We want to be able to help people see exactly where the communities would be selecting land.
Alaska Natives Without Land is hosting a meeting at the A&B Hall in Haines at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Representatives will be available to answer questions and show the land selections that are being considered for the settlement. Klukwan's community garden just made their first harvest of the season. The goal for these gardeners is to keep fresh food accessible. KHNS's Claire Strempel reports.
Jamie Campbell is snapping bright green leaves off of a Brussels sprout plant in the community garden outside of Klukwan's tribal office. The leaves are about the size of dinner plates, much larger than the sprouts.
Pick some of these lower ones. Oh, that's a good noise.
She's the lead of the community garden, which means she's in charge of organizing volunteers and keeping up with the harvest.
So I'm the garden lead, but I don't claim to know it all. And so we really work hard at bringing everyone's knowledge together to make this garden happen.
At 9 a.m. every Tuesday, she shows up to tend the garden. Fruits and vegetables here are thriving. Thick-leafed kale and tall corn stalks give way to unfurling orbs of cabbage. Tomatoes glisten inside the greenhouse, and a riot of volunteer raspberries bursts over the path that leads to the potato patch. This is a mellow Tuesday because Campbell hosted a community dinner on Monday night. The goal was to introduce residents to familiar recipes that incorporate locally grown produce.
Just because you can grow something good doesn't mean someone knows how to use it.
It was a chance to enjoy the fruits of this season's labor: kale, carrots, beets, potatoes, cucumbers, and tomatoes. About 20 people showed up, which is a great turnout for a town of fewer than 100 residents.
I mean, last night we definitely had people trying foods for the first time. And so the garden has kind of become this place where it's safe to try something new and expand a palate.
Studies from the last few years show a link between food insecurity and diabetes, obesity, and other diseases, especially in Alaska Native communities. Campbell says local awareness about those issues keeps the garden going. Locally grown crops build food security. Jamie also has help from Jenny Humphrey, a University of Alaska Fairbanks student. She's working on a minor in sustainable agriculture.
And I've been kind of leaning more and more towards food security route and food sovereignty.
Humphrey crouches in the squash, plucking slugs off the leaves and weeding. Humphrey grew up in the area and is back for the summer on a research scholarship to study food accessibility.
Especially here in Alaska, you know, if the ferries go on strike and the barges don't come for whatever reason, you know, we're a little bit screwed.
She's been interviewing locals about whether or not they feel like they have enough access to healthy foods, things like traditional subsistence foods, as well as fruits and vegetables. She's got some ideas from talking to people who live here, like stocking the local store with locally grown produce, using a root cellar to store summer's harvest for winter meals, and propagating wild berries in the village. After graduation, she's even considering coming back to work in the garden again. It's been around for a decade, but she thinks it can keep growing. In Klukwan, I'm Claire Strumpel.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.